Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're joined by Dan Perkins, a man who has demonstrated considerable ability in a whole host of areas. He is a former communicator in the United States Army. He is a man who has been hugely successful in the business of money management, and most recently as a best-selling author, including several books of note. The Brotherhood of the Red Nile is one of a series that is now complemented by a new Ted Baker novel, In Terrorist Gold. It's a pleasure to have a chance to talk with him about particularly the Middle East, a subject of considerable interest to both of us, and to welcome him back. Dan, thanks so much for joining us. It's great to have you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you again.
So, Dan, one of the things that, of course, is playing out, and you've given a lot of thought to the nature of the enemies that we're dealing with in and out of the Middle East, is the nation of Qatar, a nation that is now at dagger's points with a number of its, other partners in the Gulf Cooperation Council, cozying up to the Iranians and certainly enabling the Muslim Brotherhood and a host of terrorist organizations. And yet, the United States government can't seem to make up its mind whether they're friend or foe. What do you think?
I think that the situation where we had Egypt and Saudi Arabia and other Middle Eastern nations cutting ties with Qatar, I think is a direct result of Mr. Trump's most recent trip to the Middle East, when he spoke to those 50 delegates to that meeting in Riyadh. And while he didn't specifically call for a boycott of Qatar, in his public posturing, I do believe that behind the scenes, there were comments by Mr. Trump and his Secretary of State about Qatar seems to be the one country that is a dichotomy in a Middle Eastern complex, which is desperately starved for capital, seeing a tremendous change in their culture and their economy because of the decline in the price of crude oil. And yet they are probably one of the greatest harbinger of terrorism in the Middle East. So the isolation of Qatar by the leading countries in the Middle East it says that when the president asked the Arab nations to begin to deal with the issue of terrorism from the Middle East on their own, this is the first reaction. And it was a relatively quickly after that conference that they took a position.
Yeah. You know, you're that's such an interesting point, Dan Perkins. The president, of course, did say in that public setting, drive them out, when he was talking about extremists. Of course, some of us were thinking about his hosts as well as the Qataris. But there certainly is a logic to the idea that when he was speaking to those Sunni Arab nations and other Muslim states, that what he was looking for was this kind of corrective by them of one of their own, who has been extraordinarily aggressive in promoting the Brotherhood and otherwise, you know, enabling terrorism against some of them as well as us.
And it was what was interesting to me about the whole situation is that for 8 years, America told the world that we no longer wanted to lead from the front. We would lead from the back. And a world without America as a primary leader is a very dangerous world. And we have seen the cost of human life and destruction of property, as we had a president who refused to engage in the world stage in leading the world. Mr. Trump came in. Not only did he change the American psyche to a positive from a negative after 8 years of Barack Obama, but his action in Syria with the nerve gas and the attack on the airbase in short order after the attack was done, there really that was an example of impractical reality. There was nobody else in the world to do what he did. And if he didn't do it, nobody else was going to do it. I think that what's important is that we have been, the world has been leaderless, and without leaders, it created an opportunity for bad guys to take over the control of the world.
Well, I guess the way I would qualify that is the good guys have been leaderless, or the relatively good guys, certainly. And you're right, the vacuum has been filled by others who are very hostile. You know, the reason I'm drilling down on this point about Qatar is it does seem as though, presumably because we've got an important military installation there and other equities, that the State Department, the Defense Department has been actually sort of taking the side of the Qataris. The president has been much more robust about the problem that they represent. Is that just a good cop, bad cop deal, do you think, or is there a real division within the administration on it?
Neil, I think it's a great way to describe the strategy. You got Tillerson from the State Department saying one thing, and the president saying what he wants to say. But if you think about it, state and defense have been relatively quiet about the reaction of what's going on in the Middle East as it relates to Qatar. They could have been a lot more vocal, but they have been fairly quiet, and the president has been somewhat the point person on this, but these cabinet secretaries and obviously their staffs are working, but they're not. They have a very low profile. You're right. We have an important base there, but they were the country. Lest we forget, they were the country where many of the Guantanamo prisoners were released to, and then disappeared, and Qatar had no ability to seem to follow them, yet the administration kept sending more and more prisoners to Qatar, too.
Including the Taliban Five, as I recall. Plus, we've been turning a blind eye to the support that they are giving to the Muslim Brotherhood through, among other things, Yusuf al-Qaradawi, their sort of jurisprudential leader, and, of course, Al Jazeera, the kinds of things that the Saudis and the Egyptians and others have said have to stop. And boy, I'll tell you what, if we could actually see that agenda implemented, I think it would be a very signal and promising development in the Middle East. Let me ask you about this, the problem here as well, Dan Perkins. Again, you've written about the Brotherhood. You understand them, I think, probably as well as anybody. Should they be designated as a terrorist organization by the United States?
Absolutely. They should, without question. They should be identified as a terrorist organization. They are a terrorist organization. And they do not support the values of what we support, at least today, as a nation. And in some respects, even the people of the Middle East, for example, look what happened when the Brotherhood took over in Egypt, how quickly they were turned out because the people of Egypt said, wait a minute, this is not what we want to do.
Specifically, Sharia supremacism, I think, is pretty unappealing when you have it staring you in the face. And we better open our eyes to that being the agenda here as well. Dan Perkins, there's so much more to talk about. I hope we can get you back on soon. Your writings and your work, especially, let me just commend to this audience and to everyone the efforts that you're making on behalf of our wounded and injured men and women in uniform with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us initiative. I look forward to talking with you more about that when we get you back, hopefully in the very near future. In the meantime, stay well, keep up the terrific work you're doing.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom, it's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.